some things look good.
Now you're frozen, Chochan. Mesa, Billy Guy.
Me.
Tú, Hernanda, de Matías, ¿eh?
Hey, date más tiempo, le cae Muranaka.
Pero te mando, no le cae.
Re te morena re boka di khomo a ona le mlato
eh ba re bula
mpetsane tle mkone
nala
mkone
re petse ma
re petse moranaka
re petse re ka kwalena
ai che a ona le mlato ikebele kwile
that's right
Ikebele kwile mokone.
No, re le boa man. Eh, sa pija botsa.
Eh, modimo mo, sa modimo mo le mo ngwaneso.
Modimo mo hao.
Eh, ba pedi ba re modimo phala ba lohle.
Eh, no, wa se bona spedi mo. Austovele.
Ba heso ba ba mo rao rao kwana ke ba pedi
ba lo bedi
ke ba pedi ke bo mahlatsi le bo maloka
alright so re tsonde ro expropriate mo without compensation
yes exactly ke a uthusha ntate masipa le ka ntate
Me ma hlori te murati wa le kae.
A wa ri tsogile papa. Ke thusa ntate masipa without compensation. I will be malitsela in between.
Eh. Le tse go mo boela ha e o hudile.
Eh.
That's right.
Eh.
Boela ha e o hudile.
Eh, boela ha e o hudile.
Eh.
Eh ai ke motho wa mahlatsi ke motho wa maloka.
All right, wa maloka ra.
Eh.
No, in fact the country it's re ke rona le bo masipa le bo lena ka moka. Ke rona ba tsetseng all over.
Eh.
Mm. How check a hand ka khona bona re teng. Tsino bore a re bonale mara we are there.
Eh. Mm. Eh. Tse di aperitsia.
Ke ne tsia montate.
O se di aperitsia.
Me tlhape. Ona re bulim ba mama. Ana re bul bim ba mama. Good morning.
A gemeli kai.
Ke teng mo kae o re mo le sentle tsena go jang
I learned from you I learned from the best
How is the money my darling
How are you Metlape Ah she's just beautiful there she's not answering Ntate Masipa
Memba Bama slolo sa bakwena
How are you, my dear?
I'm fine, and how are you?
No, we are good. We are good. We must go and do an oversight at Memaso's place. I see she's got a beautiful place there in Limpopo. I've seen the vegetables, the fruit trees, everything. I think she can accommodate all of us.
I'm
telling you. And I always wake up with fruit, so I'll be at home.
You'll just go and take the one you need because it's throughout January.
No,
eat mango at this time, banana this time, and all those things they are there.
No, that is my haven.
Thank you very much.
I think Tate Matthias is with us today. Welcome, Tate Matthias.
He was not with us the past week.
Me, Baba.
Hey, unjani, Tata?
The guy, me.
Hi, Sikona, besu kumbula ka.
Hey.
Yeah, it's not nice when we are not a full team. We need to be a full team.
And it is clay. When I know Johan Steinhazen.
Nothing to do with me. Kimurata John Bas John.
Kimurata
Hori.
And they think, I agree, Luna Bareng, there must be elections.
Hey.
Regardless of the danger of the virus.
No, we must carry on. Life must go on. The virus will always be there. There'll always be viruses. Commissar.
Yeah, but the viruses are not the same. There are.
Yeah, there are viruses and viruses.
There are millennial viruses such as this one that comes one.
Yeah.
In two generations.
Oh, I hear you.
So when a virus like this strikes, we must retreat.
You would feel in touch.
So, I guess you may also worry. Kika ba kala haole pastor.
That is my daughter. Yeah, ne.
We have to work the ground.
Tate Masikwa, you are very quiet. You are not even defending me here. And yet we are in this together.
Tate Nuku. We have no other.
Member Bam.
You are not defending me here, Tate Nuku. And yet we are in this thing together.
I thought you were handling it very well, you know. So
oh,
I
okay.
Thought there is really nothing to add. Gaspedi bare kilaka leo.
Kilaka leo.
Ntate Matthias kilaka leo. Le member Bama aibuletse.
Yes.
Morning, honorable members.
Nkosi.
Njani mphango? Siba
ngokwathi. Siphilile nkosi. Ninja Nina.
Okay, Leno. Bullet box it was up to me.
Kunjalo na
Tobe.
I am to Papa.
Kama le kaima.
Retuile paparalina.
No, retuile le Ronald Namlat.
Awa, mula talk for
you. My leader, how are you, Tate Matthias?
Ah, Talibonga.
Dumela, Doteleka.
Uyamiyamu Talibonga. Ah, Talibonga.
Nephilile, Baba Matthias.
Hathi phezulu sithi sisemkosini namhlanje.
Siyabulela.
Siyabulela, tata.
Majwang Northwest, Liphetse Methabe.
Peter, how are you? And good morning, honorable.
Oh, I'm last.
Hello.
Well, and that is massive.
So well, and that is Madiba.
Let's see.
Can I put here, Bushan?
Ah, let's see. Now, I'm last.
No.
Telling things from all this.
That's right. No, hello.
Mamo stay no pele. Ya muted.
Ya more for sir. Kande.
Ya more o kande.
Right.
All right. Manyamza. Mamkakaza neapile.
Siapila che gosunjan wen.
Ah, it's a vogue like a big
horse.
Oh, ucho epic and gogolo. Hi, bo. Hey. Mamkakaza.
Very well, thank you. How are you?
It's good to have you back.
Yeah.
We survived.
Definitely. Yeah. We have to push on. Eh?
Yeah. Thanks for being with us.
Okay, thank you.
Mam Kashe. Siyaphile, akucala lakho.
Good morning, Chair. Siyaphile, ngosi tata. Ni right ni.
Ewe man. No, siyabulela xa nisaphila. Mampepetheka. Andiveso sithotho sakho sekhona. Mampepetheka.
Molo tshe ndikhona.
Hayi ke. Batsho ndaphila.
Undani wena tshe.
Yeah. Ndirayithi xa ndiva wena.
Okay.
Baphilile bonke ekhayeni.
Hayi bayaphila nje, bayaphila nomama naye usaphila.
Oh. Asibulele.
Namakhwenkwe ayaphila tshe.
Yho, hayi. Lala makhwenkwe. Ayandilawula ndiphethwe ngabo ndixelele.
Okay.
Mama Ledu, are you well?
Morning, Shaki. Siyame le kae lona?
Ritsuile ha una mlato le kaile
Ritsuile cha una mlato ra lebo ha re sentsene mo di mara ba baletse
no ra lebo
thank you cha
meeting tse sa lona di ba tor kopantsa he a re lebo
sentse re boela parliament enche
ah ba jamsa wa khada ke tse ke na ka convene meeting ko E249 ha wa khada
Sai buale na sai okay.
All right. Honorable members, I'm trying to see if our other members are joining us today. Where's Ntate Muntwedi, Ntate Matias? I miss that young chef.
Judging by the exposed forehead and the center head, I don't think he's young anymore, Honorable Chief.
You don't think he qualifies to be young anymore? I thought he wanted those brownie points, you know.
My Lord, if he's not with us, it could be very well that he has other organizational commitments.
Okay. No, honorable members, let us proceed with our meeting. Mayamza, any apologies on your side?
Yes, Chair, I've got only one apology from Mamuchwete, Chair.
Oh.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Mam Kakaza?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Well, I also got one from Tatu Tabekulu who is attending Peace on the Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you to our secretariat and good morning, honorable members, and to our staff, the content advisors and our researchers. The secretariat and our entire staff from logistics and communications who are with us today. It is with a heavy heart, honorable members, that we meet today, having been witnessing the atrocities and brutality that is daily meted out against defenseless Palestinians by a brutal apartheid regime. And it is in this light that we sit with a heavy heart after last night's bombing on Gaza, which left many innocent children and women dead. It seems we have gotten the brutality of our own apartheid we experienced, the cold-blooded assassins in broad daylight, the letter bombs ripping off our limbs, and shrapnel tearing out eyes, landmines blasting off feet and legs, sending fragments of bone and flesh flying all over. It's all happening again, yesterday, today, and rest assured, tomorrow. The only difference is the unimaginable scale of brutality that apartheid Israel resorts to without any humanitarian concern, nor flinching at deterrence of human rights and international law, the Geneva Convention, or even the International Criminal Court. Who stands to ban human beings alive as if they are some incendiary target practice? We call on all of you, as honorable members in this portfolio committee and in this August House, the National Assembly and the Parliament of the Republic of South Africa, to call on sanctions against apartheid Israel now. We have to look into our own past to understand that as South Africans, we have to be morally grounded. Their actions are totally despicable and they must be stopped. Their cruelty and brutality knows no mercy. It is through you, honorable members, that I appeal for your voice, because we can turn the tide around in this committee, in this National Assembly, in this Parliament, and be the voice for change. We have been sleepless nights, some of us, watching children, and I emphasize children, as young as 12 and 14 years old, being shot in their backs. And it is in that light that I reach out to you to utilize your voice and speak against such brutality. Call for sanctions now. I would truly appreciate that you speak about such issues so that we don't become complicit to what is daily meted out against innocent people of Palestine. Honorable members, we gather today on a simple agenda that is to read our report of the budget report that has been put together by our content advisors. And I would hand over to them to take us through the report, where we will then be able to engage with the document, and then we will move for the adoption of the report. As you would know that on the 13th of May, being this coming Thursday, we will be having our budget vote debate virtually. So in that light, I would like to invite our content advisors to present the report. I thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. My colleague Nokuzola will start, and she'll do most of the presentation. I'll just, I think it's better if she shares. Can you share, Nokuzola, so that you're able to control it that side?
Yes, we'll appreciate if she can share the document so that we can follow as you present. Thank you. Go ahead, Mam Tasha.
Is there anything happening? I don't see.
Nothing
still.
You're sharing your screen, so we can't see the document. I have it open. If you're struggling, I can share it.
Please do.
May you please... there you go.
Does it open up now?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, members. As the Chair has indicated, this is a draft budget vote report for the committee for consideration and adoption. I just want to emphasize that this report is a summary of what has been the discussion that transpired in the last week, in the 2 days that the committee was considering the annual performance plans and the budget of the department and its entities. I won't say much on the first page. It's just the introduction. It's part of the template. And the second page as well, it just lists, the first table lists the dates in which the committee considered the plans and the budget for the department and entities. And it's just the overview of the department, which is also entailed in its plans and also its core functions, which are also derived from the Constitution. And further, the department in its presentation also highlighted departmental outcomes and also the linkage of to the medium-term strategic framework. So the department's presentation was informed by this as well as the SONA. That's just the background. 3.2 on page 3. Going to programs, in here I'd like to highlight that we have tried to capture the discussions of the members as much as we can. However, as we go along or as we get to the observations, members are welcome to add if there are any issues that we've left out.
in terms of the programs, we won't be going into detail as most of the issues are entailed in the observations and finally the recommendations. In essence, the department's budget has not increased much from the previous financial year. For this current financial year, it received 16.9 billion, which is a slight increase from the 16.8 that it initially received in the previous financial year. As members will recall, there was special adjustment budget that was made later in the year, so there were some funds from various departments had to be reprioritized as a result of the pandemic. So during the adjustment, the department's budget was reduced further to 15.2 million in the previous financial year. So for the medium term, which ends in 2024, the department's budget will nominally increase by an average of 4.5%. Just as a reminder for members, the departments constitute both national and concurrent functions. And those are mostly in program 3, the concurrent functions in program 3 and program 4. As a result, approximately 52% of its total budget goes to transfers, and the transfers are to provinces and also to the entities. The next page. It's table 3, just to provide an illustration of the allocations per program. The figures in bold is the total that is appropriated to each program, and under each program are sub-programs, including the budget amounts that have been allocated. Also included is the previous year. That is just for to assist members with comparison. The adjusted appropriation, that's the first column for the previous financial year, 2020-2021. As I've already mentioned, in terms of program, we'll basically just highlight the budget and what it means, because the purpose of this report is basically how the financial resources that have been allocated are aligned to the department's annual plan and strategic focus areas. Program 1, which is administration, received the second largest allocation for this financial year. That's approximately 2.8, which is more or less the same amount that it received in the previous financial year. The concern here was that this program, as much as it receives the second largest allocation in terms of budget, and it being responsible for management and strategy, giving strategic direction to the entire department, it only has two targets. That is the department receiving an unqualified audit report and the payment of invoices with credit aid. So in this regard, we felt that with respect to corporate services in particular, there should have been some specific targets, particularly with respect to policy development and review, as well as legislative review and development. And also noting that corporate services receives the largest budgetary allocation under this program. further to corporate services, there's also provincial operations. Considering that more than 50% of the budget of the department's total budget transferred to provinces. And the committee has consistently been raising serious issues with weak monitoring and evaluation of projects and activities that are implemented by provinces and other service providers. So we felt that there should have been a specific target on how the department would be strengthening its monitoring and evaluation mechanisms, particularly since it has a sub-program that deals specifically with provincial operations. Program two is also one of the key programs of the department. What we think of the program, I think we'll discuss further in the observations. It's responsible for production, biosecurity, and natural resource management. Under natural resource management, we also have disaster management. This program in the current year received the third largest allocation. And there hasn't been growth in terms of budget allocation in this program as well, which is the same case for the medium term as well. Approximately half of the program budget will be allocated to the ARC as a parliamentary grant. And after the ARC, the allocation to the quarantine and inspection services, which will receive approximately 20% of the program total. The members, what's new that I think I've forgot to mention in this program, since the department has renamed the program, there's now a biosecurity as a sub-program. That was a welcome addition, or rather focus, in light of the continuing outbreaks of diseases like FMD and recently outbreak. And as a result, the small budget allocation of only 3 million to biosecurity was a concern, as the outbreaks have a serious impact on sustainability of these industries, and also to sector employment and job creation, which is expected from agriculture. Program three is food security, land reform, and restitution. I think previously we've highlighted what becomes the challenge here, combining land reform in particular and with food security. Because then the focus becomes a little bit blurred. This program, as expected, because both food security and land reform and restitution are key and strategic areas for this department, and also government priorities. So program three, as expected, receives the largest allocation of the department's total appropriation. That's 8.8 billion, which is approximately 52% of the department's budget. And 81% of the program three's appropriation, that's about 7 billion out of that 8.8 is also transferred to provinces, to entities and households. Members, I just want to highlight that where there are issues that I've left out, my colleague Chililo will add. The restitution sub-program, members will recall that the operations or activities for restitution are through the Commission on Restitution of Land Rights. So the further discussion on this one will be under the Commission on Restitution of Land Rights. It suffices to say that the restitution sub-program or by extension commission has been allocated a budget of 3.5 billion. That's approximately 40% of the total budget for program 3. And it is followed by food security with 2 billion, which is about 24%. And it's more or less the same as what it food security received in the previous financial year. So we would highlight the concern with the stagnant growth in the budget of food security in light of the continuing hunger situation that has been compounded by the pandemic, as most people have lost sources of income and other livelihood means. And another area that I would like to mention in terms of the department, as members would know, is also responsible with other departments to implement the National Food and Nutrition Security Plan. So in this regard, I think the committee has previously highlighted this a specific target on how the department will measure food security. And I would also like to add that actually food security programs are implemented by provinces. So there is no clear measurement instrument of whether such programs that are implemented by provinces have an impact on reducing food insecurity. The committee members, you will bear with us, program 3 is the most important one with the most budget and with many issues compared to other programs. Also under this program, the committee mentioned the launch, or rather relaunch, of the Blended Finance Initiative. However, this time the minister highlighted that the department is working with the Industrial Development Corporation, the IDC, and he also mentioned interest from commercial banks to partner with the department for the implementation of blended finance. However, there was a question on the rationale to partner with commercial banks in particular when there's a land bank which is legislated and was established to assist with financial provision to develop the agricultural sector. However, the department has previously and also indicated its reservations with the land bank based on previous experiences, particularly in the implementation of the blended finance program. Be that as it may, the department in the current financial year is allocating about 385 to the land bank through this program. And over the medium term, the total allocation to the land bank would be 1.2. But there is no link in the APP or in the National Treasury documents on what the land bank transfers were used for. And additionally, although the blended finance initiative has been launched as indicated, there are no specific targets on the program. And the blended finance, just to remind members, was initially established for the commercialization of black producers. And there was no mention of that program in the current plan. The land redistribution and tenure reform, that's a new addition. Land redistribution used to be a separate sub-program. In the current plan, it has been combined with tenure reform. And the sub-program received about 965 for the current year. This is just a list of some of the issues that were raised, specifically raised by members on the land reform and redistribution and restitution sub-program specifically. Program 4 is rural development. The program received 1 billion for the current financial year. And approximately 93% of that allocation for rural infrastructure development. We will talk more on the infrastructure on the observations. There was also under this program a significant decrease in the budget for NARISEC. And in this regard, the committee did express concerns on the impact on skills development and creation of job opportunities, particularly for rural youth, as youth unemployment is a serious challenge currently in the country, and that situation was for youth. Rural areas. So the decrease on the NARISEC program was a concern. Program 5 is economic development, trade and marketing. And the new development in this program was the addition of development finance as a sub-program. This program also makes allocation to the National Agricultural Marketing Council. For the current financial year, the program received 800, and about 60% of that will go to the sub-program that is responsible for agro-processing, marketing, and rural industrial development. One of the challenges in respect of the 530 million allocation for the said sub-program is that agro-processing has been highlighted in various government documents and also in the National Development Plan as the driver of jobs. So in this regard, the agricultural sector is expected to create approximately 1 million jobs by 2030, which is something that the committee with time may ask for progress on. And the 1 million jobs are expected to be created through agro-processing. However, in the current plan, there is no specific target on agro-processing. In the previous financial year, the one target that the department had was to train agro-processing entrepreneurs. there is a new target on the Agri-BEE fund application. The target is a percentage. It's 100% Agri-BEE fund applications being finalized. However, the issue here is that there was no baseline that was provided. For example, on how many applications does the department normally receive in a year for Agri-BEE? Or how many of those applications does it usually finalize? And noting that some stakeholders or smallholder producers, in, to be specific, are not aware of the Agri-BEE fund or how to apply for it. So a number as a baseline would have assisted to know. For example, if only 5 applications are received and 5 and of and the whole 5 is finalized, that's 100% achievement. But when we think about it, what is 5 applications out of hundreds of smallholder producers that need assistance? In terms of the Agri-BEE fund. In this program, I would like to mention that there's, I've stated that there's an amount of about 385 million on program 3 that has been transferred to Land Bank. Also on program 5, there's a 40.6 million transfer to the bank again, and over the MTF that to the total will be about 139. So the assumption based on previous experience for this land bank allocation under Program 5 is the Agri-BEE fund and possibly MAFISA as well, because the department now has a target on MAFISA. The last program is land administration. The budget for this program decreased from 1 billion the previous financial year to about 758 in the current year. In terms of programs, members, I will just pause here to hear if my colleague wants to add some specific issues, particularly for the land reform-related programs.
Thanks. I think let's proceed, because I think they are already it's already clear what's written there. Thank you.
Okay, this section is basically about entities, and table 4 is just an outline of the allocation to the entities, and members will know that there is nothing on the commission as much as it's supposed to be autonomous. The allocation is still under the restitution sub-program, and my colleague will speak to that in terms of the commission.
Okay, thank you. So can you scroll? Yeah, thanks.
Sure.
Thank you. So we do know what the commission is established for. That is to receive claims, investigate, and recommend for resolution of those claims. What we've included here, we've just tried to show you the numbers, to show in the report the numbers of claims to be settled, and you know, those to be finalized as it is shown in the APP. I'm not going to go into the details of that. The numbers are clear. We have already mentioned earlier on that the commission has received 3.5 billion, which is allocated under program 3. So if you can scroll down a little bit. So what is important, as we heard from the committee, they raised issues around the pace. In a way, we're summarizing the discussion of the committee or questions that it was about the concerns around the pace of settlement of land claims and clearing backlog claims. And this was raised in relation to the claims that have been put in abeyance due to the interdict by the court. The committee also, in a way, was welcoming the APP, but expressed concerns around the vacancies, that it affects the capacity to conduct research, settle, and finalize claim. So the other critical questions, the discussion around policies, that for the commission to be successful, it must have policies that guide their operations. And therefore, the commission was, you know, really kind of urged to complete, to finalize their policies. And this discussion was in relation to the idea or the vision or the intention to have an autonomous commission. And the question of the 1913 cutoff date also was a question of comment or discussion. And, you know, this is also, it's including, this is also a subject matter that being a constitutional matter, it's also being dealt with under the constitutional amendment processes. Something that we did not put in here is just coming now as we discuss, that in the APP, there's also this an intention to come up or to finalize the exceptions policy. You know, circumstances where there are land claims outside of the 1913 cutoff date. So that is something that the commission in the APP is saying that it will be dealing with. Perhaps I'll move straight to the Ingonyama Trust Board. If you can scroll down, their activities are guided mainly by they want to improve governance and service excellence and stakeholder relations, improved security on land tenure and coordination of human settlement on communal land. And these are organized into two programs. That's mainly administration and land tenure management. Scroll a little bit down. The point we are making here, and which we there is a recommendation at the end, is that our close reading of the APP, and we do not see the budget allocation in the APP. However, during the briefing session, the committee accepted the PowerPoint slides, yet it is not in the APP. And that brings a whole lot of questions as to what is the status of that. And also bear in mind that there was also the committee's discussion around okay, maybe it's not in this, it's in another entity around the earlier version of the plan, which was not signed. So we discussed this, but we make mention of the fact that there is no, the tabled APP did not have a budget. The administration, they're going to focus on signing certain agreements, 10 agreements with relevant stakeholders annually for the next 4 years. They'll capacitate traditional council. All these issues are documented in the APP. However, what the committee is looking at, perhaps something that during the oversight in the year ahead, to look at is the implementation based on the track record or the experience of the committee, that yes, they do make plans, but then in terms of implementation, you find that that's not being the case. For example, in terms of approval of policies, 2 of the 5 were were approved. Let's go down. Scroll. Sorry, just a little bit. All right, thanks. So the other question was about the benefits, and this is the matter that the committee has been dealing with for a long time. The emphasis is on capacity and traditional councils, projects around educational wards and other community benefits, not very clear. And yeah, we do mind the fact that there are now two entities. There are targets for the, clearly spelled out targets for the ITB, but when it comes to the Ingwenyama Trust itself, some of these things we should appear, it's not very clear. So, and therefore, in this report, we then bring the discussion of the committee around what is the purpose of this trust and what does it exist for? Does it exist for the benefit and material welfare and social well-being of communities on the trust land? The point, again, that comes up is the point around the audit findings and opinion. While we welcome the intention to ensure that there is, if you can scroll down, the intention to make sure that they get a clean audit. However, it remains as an undertaking, but scrolling down going through the AP, one doesn't find clear plans that shows that this is what there are targets around, perhaps quarterly targets or even an annual target that shows that to achieve that particular outcome, or what is it that the ITB will be doing? So these matters remain unresolved, and they have been for a number of years, and particularly issues around interpretation of the TUs and the GREP standards, and these which are bringing disputes between the community, ITB and the Auditor General. So one would have expected to see some targets around engagements with the National Treasury, engagements with Auditor General to try and resolve some of these things. Maybe they are somewhere in their operational plan, but it's something that it doesn't come during the presentation of the APPs. The Office of the Valuer General is going to go quickly, there are the figures in terms of the allocation, but when it comes to the issues that the committee raised, I'm not going to mention those figures because this is something that is already in the APP and it was presented. But in summarizing how the committee responded to the issues raised with the Auditor General, committee noted, and particularly, also welcoming the idea that it's going to be implementing the corruption and fraud prevention mechanisms, which is going to be approved in the second quarter. However, the question was, what is the extent of this? Why? And this has always been there. And why is it being included now? Has it not been resolved? The corruption issues. And from the discussion, you will remember, members, that this is something that the OVG feels very strongly about, that it needs to be a standing issue that continues to be implemented throughout. The other thing that the committee, in terms of receiving this, welcoming the APP, was an emphasis around the recruitment of the Valuer General and the Chief Operating Officer. These positions are still vacant. Those that are operating are operating under these positions are on an acting basis. You can scroll down. Yes. So in a way, in terms of capacity, it's a way of trying to resolve the capacity constraints which the OVG has raised over the years. We also noted issues around the tabling of the APP, which was not mind. That last part was also that came, it's from members, was the ministerial advisory panel that was meant to finalize the review of the Property Valuation Act. I mean, it has been in the plans over the last, in the last year, still it's in the plans here. Yeah, thank you. Can proceed with the ARC.
Thank you, Chililo. The ARC, which is the premier research institution, agricultural research institution for the country, has been appropriated 1.2 billion for the current year, as indicated there, and also illustrated on table 4. What I can highlight with the ARC, but funding remains a challenge for the entity, and the ARC, which is operating on a zero budget, particularly as there are constraints in the national fiscus. The ARC also indicated that from this current financial year onwards, they are not expecting any additional funding from the Department of Science and Innovation. And that's due to the constraints, the national fiscus that we all know of. Personnel costs remain the highest cost driver. Approximately 90% of the 1.2 billion that the entity receives from Parliament goes to compensation of employees. And in this regard, the ARC is implementing its sustainability and financial turnaround plan and plans to reduce this cost by approximately 300 million over a period of 2 to 3 years. That's more or less the MTF period. And that's optimizing the cost to about 60% of the parliamentary grant instead of the current 90%. The plans and what and the initiatives that it has started with in terms of implementing the financial plan were presented, and these were appreciated and welcomed by the committee, particularly the interventions of the new board and the promise that it holds for the entity. And the committee further was satisfied with the annual performance plan that was presented and the linkage with the turnaround plan. However, as the ARC is facing financial constraints, and as it also indicated that it needs to recruit more high-profile scientists who can assist the entity in generating external revenue. So the committee's concern in this regard was how the ARC was going to balance the optimization of personnel costs to 60% of the grant, while at the same time there is a need to appoint high-profile scientists, and high-profile scientists don't come cheap. Also, on the issue of the high-profile scientists, the recruitments that it plans, the ARC has always reported about its professional development program, that's PDP short, where the entity supports financially and in all forms some of junior researchers, including students, to attain masters and PhDs in science, and also postdoctoral training as well. And the aim of that program was to create a pool of scientists, particularly from previously disadvantaged individuals, to take over from some of the ARC scientists that will probably go on retirement or resign for some reason or other. So clarity was sought on the PDP, its impact, if the ARC still needs to recruit high-profile scientists. As it has, members will recall, the ARC has been reporting every year on the high number of masters and doctoral graduates that have been graduating through the program. Additionally, and most importantly, the slow pace of the establishment or construction of the FMD facility. Members will recall funding for this facility was made the allocation in 2018-19. And that there's been little progress in terms of this facility is a concern, and particularly the country is still grappling with the outbreak of FMD that broke out in 2019. And the impact that it has, as already alluded to under Program 2, on the export revenue for the livestock sector. The Onderstepoort Biological Products, it's a national government business enterprise, according to Schedule 3B of the PFMA. And the OBP does not get a financial transfer or a parliamentary grant. It generates its own revenue through sale of vaccines. For the current financial year, its budget is about 190 million. The OBP also has financial challenges, and this stems from the fact that it's operating on aged infrastructure. And however, the work on the modernization of the vaccine manufacturing plant is continuing. The committee in this regard was also concerned on the slow pace of the project. The OPP has previously mentioned, and also in this regard, that the financial constraints are limiting the pace at which the entity is able to finalize the project. It's in the process of finalizing phase one, and it's planning to have 50% of phase two of that particular project. Completed in the current financial year. And why it's important that the vaccine plant manufacturing is modernized is so that the OPP can get the international accreditation in terms of good manufacturing practice, so that it can be able to compete successfully with other international institutions that produce animal vaccines. In addition to the GMP project, the committee's major concern with the OPP was instability at senior management level. While in the previous year there was hope that the issues at OPP were being addressed, the new board also made mention of the fact that they have put the CEO of the entity under precautionary suspension. This is pending investigation into allegations of fraud and corruption, as well as past investigations that have been instituted by the entity. The OBP currently has a 25% vacancy rate, which was also a serious concern to the committee. However, with the assistance of the new board, the committee did acknowledge the measures that were presented by the board to address revenue losses, to help the entity to address revenue losses, and also the high personnel turnover rate. The National Agricultural Marketing Council receives its parliamentary grant through Program 5, and that's been 47 million for the past years, and there isn't much growth in the MTE period as well. Approximately 73% of the entity's allocation goes to compensation of employees. And here I would just like to highlight that the entity is actually not implementing its core mandate, and responsibilities are outlined in the MEP Act number 47 of 1996 as amended. And so if the entity acts as an advisory to the minister on marketing and trade issues, and also deals with other responsibilities that are mandated to it by the minister, as also outlined in the Act, and that also includes managing and agricultural industry trusts, and also leases from those trusts for the transformation of the sector. In this regard, the minister has, in 2019, appointed the NAMC to coordinate the process of compiling the agricultural and agro-processing master plan. The minister has also mentioned the master plan, and including others, and the NAMC also did provide the committee with an update on how far the process is with finalizing the master plan. It was supposed to be finalized last year, but due to the lockdown as a result of COVID-19, that deadline was not met, however. And now the plan is with the minister, who's preparing to negotiate and finalize commitments, particularly for funding, because the plan is going to be funded through public-private partnerships. So there are discussions to conclude the plan in terms of sector growth, jobs that will be created, markets, and transformation. And members, as I've indicated, under Program 5, agro-processing is supposed to play a central role in this plan, hence lack of a specific target on agro-processing was an issue. The annual performance plan of the entity, which is now clearer, as the minister also has redirected the entity to focus on its legislated mandate. And programs, for example, the livestock development project that the entity used to implement is now with the ARC. So the entity is focusing solely on assisting the industry, particularly smallholder farmers, with market access. The Perishable Products Export Control Board, the entity also doesn't receive a government grant, but generates its own revenue of inspections that it does on perishable products that are due for export, and the issuance of export certificates for such products. The entity did report that in the past financial year, due to measures that it applied for its personnel to work during the lockdown, which resulted in reduced travel, and also due to the lockdown, the training activities were also reduced. So it realized a surplus of 10, which boosted its its budget, and in the current year, it has about 532 budget. Also, due to the nature of its operations, 60% of its budget goes to compensation of employees. There were no specific issues regarding the entity. The committee commended it for its clear and well-articulated annual plan, including the continued work that it's doing in terms of assisting the industry with export of perishable products and also building the capacity of smallholder farmers for export market access. That's all up with the entities that the committee considered in this instance. I'll go directly to committee observations. Members, I would like to highlight here that in terms of observations and by extension recommendations, we have tried to summarized as much as possible and combined certain aspects that were raised, and also because this is a budget vote report and the response to it is expected in 3 to 4 months' time, it's only those issues or continuous issues that we feel the department needs to take time working on. So where in cases committee has requested or like to request for reports, for example, or information that we deem readily available, that can be done through minutes, or the committee can also directly write to the department and request those. So in terms of observations, the first one was inadequate quality assurance in the department. And to explain this, there was a concern with the quality of the department's annual performance plan. And the plan had a number of grammatical and typographical errors, which may well be due to cut and paste from previous financial year's annual performance plan. How this was evident in the outdated statistical information in some parts. Members will recall that Statistics South Africa does surveys all the time and does update certain information, particularly employment information, on a quarterly basis. So we expect those to reflect the latest figures. Also on page 20 of the APP, the current APP under planned legislation for approval, the department has listed Agricultural Produce Agent Amendment Bill and the Sectional Titles Amendment. This is a direct cut and paste from the previous financial year. And members will know that both these bills have already been tabled in Parliament last year already. Also, these are just examples to show the lack of quality assurance on the part of the department with respect to documents or plans that it submits to Parliament for consideration. Under relevant court rulings on page 23, with respect to the Rahube case and others for Ultra, the department mentions that it is presently finalizing a bill to amend Ultra. And again, members, you know that Ultra bill was tabled in Parliament last year, and actually Parliament has already concluded its process on the Alpha bill, on the Ultra bill. And also the fact that the department initially tabled some entities, APPs, that were not fined by the executive authority, excuse the spelling mistake there, by the it will be corrected by the executive authority and also failed to provide explanations where certain targets were discontinued or revised. An explanation in the AP expected instead of waiting for members to highlight or ask about them. However, the unsigned APPs were updated with the signed ones. The committee appreciated the appointment of the accounting officer, the process rather, to appoint the accounting officer, the DG, for the department, including the strengthening of the department's policy unit, which was mentioned by the minister. However, the absence of targets, as previously mentioned under administration, on policy and legislative creates some uncertainty on the department's capacity or how it will timeously develop key legislation and policies to address some of the challenges. And one example that we can provide here is the Communal Land Tenure Bill. When the committee was finalizing the ULTRA Bill, there was an undertaking from the department that the Communal Land Tenure Bill will be introduced by the end of the last financial year. And this bill is not even listed in the current APP. The amendments to the legislation that established both the PPECB and the ARC have been in process for quite some time, and so is the white paper on land policy, and those are also not listed in the APP, so there is no certainty of when will these pieces of legislation or policy come through. The third observation that was made is the merger of the two former departments, that is DAF and Dr. DLR, which I think everybody was happy about, as it was meant to address duplication of activities and functions and also consolidate complementary functions between the two departments. However, as much as the department has reported that the macro structure has been finalized and is currently working on the fit for purpose structure, there is still lack of alignment in terms of program functions and interventions in the new department. As much as we have now a new department, but in terms of implementation of functions and also the alignment of programs, there's still a glaring separation between the two departments. And the following examples I would mention, the first one being the different financial support programs, farmers or producers. The committee has emphasized this in the last plan and even made a recommendation in this regard. But there is little that has, in fact, there's nothing that shows that the department is working towards consolidating all these support programs into a one-stop shop facility, for lack of a better word. An example I would make here is in program three. We have these various support programs. We have CASP, we have Ili Malitsima. Those are conditional grants that are appropriated through DORA funds. And then we have, these two grants, CASP and ILIMA, are implemented by provinces. And then there's blended finance, which has been launched, but currently there are no targets on it. And those are from the former Department of Agriculture. And then the former Department of Rural Development had RECAP previously, and that RECAP was discontinued and replaced with the Land Development Support. And all these programs, all these support interventions are under Program 3. And if you scrutinize them further, they are doing more or less the same thing. And under Program 5, there's Agri-BEE Fund, and there's also MAFISA from the former Department of Agriculture. Those are also support programs. And what has been observed is that these different programs create complexities in terms of oversight and accountability, both for Parliament and for the Department as well. And also the assessment of the impact of intervention of these different programs is not as straightforward or easy. And this also further creates confusion for potential beneficiaries of these interventions. For example, in Program 5, Agri-BEE Fund is specifically for addressing transformation. But I can argue that so is MAFISA, because all these funding programs are for black producers. So that there's a transformation element to all of them. And stakeholders, which are farmers, who are supposed to be beneficiaries of these programs, don't know the differences. And in some cases, they don't know about all of these programs and how the department can tell if one farmer has received funding from MAFISA, will they still be eligible for Agri-BEE, for example. And members, I would like to stress that the department has, would say, the land development support, for example, is for supporting land reform beneficiaries, but so is CASP. CASP was established in 2004 to provide support to land reform beneficiaries and other farmers. So there's lots of duplication still. Also, speaking of duplications, there's a land care program that's a conditional grant as well through the DORA, from the former Department of Agriculture, and that is implemented under Program 2 as it deals with natural resource and disaster management. From the former Department of Rural Development, we have the Animal and Field Management Program and the River Valley Catalytic Program. I must mention that, members, the department has previously mentioned that these two programs from the former Department of Rural Development were discontinued. However, they are in the current APP. And as much as the implementations of these different programs might be different, but they all have an infrastructure provision component. Excuse me, and the main outcome of the interventions in all three programs is natural resource management and rehabilitation. And by its very nature, the animal and field management program should be part of animal production program too, by the way. And further to the above program, as mentioned, the duplication there. Land care is a job creation program. It was established as part of the expanded public works program. So that part of it is still key. but in Program 4 under rural development, the department has a specific target on job opportunities that will be created in rural development initiatives. Here, we felt that there is a confusion of some sort, because agriculture by its nature of farming is rural or happens in rural areas. The last point was in terms of infrastructure. Members would know the former Department of Rural Development has some obsession with infrastructure development. I'll put it that way. So for the AVM, the Animal and Feld Management Program in River Valley, the targets are for infrastructure development, support production. However, under the same program, there's also another target for infrastructure development to support farmer production support units. This is notwithstanding the fact that CASP, which is implemented under Program 3, is also supposed to provide both on-farm and off-farm infrastructure. And in the current year, CASP has a budget of $1 billion for infrastructure alone. We have mentioned this specifically because we think there's a serious problem that needs to be addressed there, particularly as there's also a weak monitoring and evaluation of the implementation of this program. For example, under Program 4, Rural Development, most of these projects will be implemented by service providers. The next observation is the need for further engagement on the blended finance and the commercialization of Black Producers Program, for which blended finance was established. And also the departmental funding programs, as already indicated previously, including sector transformation instruments such as the Agri-BE Fund and MAFISA. The last two were previously administered or historically were administered by the Land Bank. So in those discussions, there should be an update also on the funds that were previously transferred to the Land Bank for those purposes and what the impact has been, both in terms of sector development and transformation. I think I've made mention on this. One, the absence of the specific target on agro-processing, and as the NDP has identified it as a key job driver. And this is also central farmer production support units, hence the focus on infrastructure development on the FPSUs. The next observation was on the budget itself, where more than 50% goes to transfers and subsidies. I think you've also alluded to the dissatisfaction of the committee with the absence of a specific or a clear target on monitoring and evaluation. So the absence of a framework in this regard remains a challenge. Spelling mistake there will be corrected. The next one is lack of concrete plans for indigenous, to ensure that indigenous growers of cannabis, members will recall that the minister gave an update on the sugar master plan, the poultry master plan, cannabis master plan, and the members were concerned and felt that there should be clear plans on how indigenous growers of cannabis will be prioritized, or historical growers of cannabis will be prioritized, so that, and also capacitated, so that they can fully participate and benefit from the implementation of the cannabis plan. The committee commended the implementation of the poultry master plan and the sugar master plan. And emphasize the participation of and capacity building of the smallholder farmers for the two sectors. The stagnant growth in the budget allocation for the food security subprogram concern in light of the challenges with food insecurity. For program two, this has also been previously alluded to. It's just a kind of summarizing all the key issues or observations as part of the discussions. It's about the small allocation to biosecurity, particularly as currently the country is grappling with FMD and most recently, avian influenza. Both diseases have a serious impact on export revenue, sector employment, and in the case of avian influenza, the sustainability of the poultry sector, which is being revived through the master plan. So the outbreak of this disease and how the department manages it is of utmost importance. The committee appreciated the trade, the target driver or the specific target on trade negotiations, including the newly launched trade agreement on African continental free trade. The minister also alluded to this, and however, the committee highlighted the need for clear interventions, and this was previously mentioned as well with respect to this African Continental Free Trade Agreement to capacitate and also assist local and smallholder producers in particular to be able to participate and benefit from the agreement once it becomes operational. And that could also prevent the flooding of imports where local producers are unable to fulfill the demand for certain products. I don't know if my colleague wants to put more emphasis on the next ones as they relate to land reform.
All right, thanks. So in terms of the observation here with regard to the acquisition of land, it was the discussion around the pace. So the observation is about the pace as it relates to meeting the NDP targets. And secondly, we then linked it up with the program to redistribute state land or to release state land to say that, you know, close scrutiny of the plans. There's no clear articulation of that particular program. So one doesn't know as to whether that has been concluded and perhaps it's something that we should recommend something around that. The next one, the observation, it's concerns around CPAs, inadequate support to CPAs. We included trust here because sometimes we focus on CPAs only, yet there is also less reform funds allocated to trust. That inadequate support to these landholding entities contribute to the collapse of land reform farms and, by extension, decline in agricultural productivity. The most prominent issue is conflict within CPAs, and it is an indicator of a lack of or inadequate support to CPAs. When you look at the APP, it speaks about support for compliance to CPA. The observation here is that the compliance to the Act alone doesn't mean that conflict and leadership challenges would be resolved. What is required is implementation of the amendment to the CPA Act. The CPA Act was amended and it creates certain, it provides for certain measures by which support will be provided. For instance, it provides for the office of the CPA registrar and more capacity within that. It's something that we have not heard or seen till to date. Is there another one? Scroll down, please. Yes. So that's those are the two key issues. It's a redistribution and the CPAs. If we have missed out something, members can also advise. But we thought those were the two major issues that came up from the discussion that members felt strongly about. With regards to the entities, we start with the commission there. Obviously, the most important issue is an autonomous commission with adequate research capacity to negotiate and settle claims. And here the observation really is about that the fact, and this is, and we, I mean, the committee welcomed the idea, the fact that there is now a commitment to drive, you know, the commission towards its autonomy. And this is an emphasis of the fact that incorporating restitution as sub-program of the broad program 3, actually it downgrades the mandate of that national public entity and thus curtailing the autonomy of the commission and in the Restitution of Land Rights Act. The next observation relates to the Ingonyama Trust. There are outstanding reports with regard to the interministerial task team that was meant to intervene and at the ITB. And this is a continuation from last year where the committee was saying, what is the status as of today? So there were, if members will remember, there were times where the committee wanted to go for oversight in at ICB, and that was put on hold pending these interventions from the interministerial team. With regard to the ITB, again, this relates to the observation relating to the issues of benefit and material welfare of communities on Ingonyama Trust, that there are no clear targets relating to empowerment of youth, women and people with disabilities. And that becomes very clear when someone looks at the description of the technical description of indicators at the end of the APP, that it doesn't really target women and children, women and youth and people with disability. Yes, and the next one is about the observation, well, relates to the Valuer General, the Office of the Valuer General, the delays in the finalization of the Property Valuation Act to clarify mandate was a key issue. And, you know, one can say that even if the department or the OVG goes ahead and capacitates and get the OV at the Valley General and the COO, but if that mandate is not clear, it will still remain with the serious issues and challenges where, and you know, valuations are being challenged. And so in the committee here, I think from our reading of the engagements, was that the issue of the mandate, the review of the Property Valuation Act must be dealt with in a hasty or as a matter of priority. Yeah, thanks.
I'm finished.
Yes, you can go ahead and talk about the ARC. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Respect to the ARC, the members' observation, I've already alluded to, I think for most of the agricultural entities, safe to emphasize the slow progress in the construction of the FMD facility. And also, as much as the committee appreciated financial sustainability and turnaround plan, there was uncertainty regarding its implementation in respect of optimizing personnel costs, especially since the ARC has highlighted the need to recruit more high-profile scientists. One other issue that was highlighted was the lack of technological, or rather the lack of use of technological advances in an entity of the ARC's caliber, with respect to security issues that were highlighted, where the safety and sustainability of the ARC's genetic material is under threat from theft. The interventions of the new board of the OVP were appreciated, particularly with respect to addressing personnel challenges at that entity, including the precautionary suspension of the fast tracking of the vaccine facility remains a priority. The improvement in the annual plan of the NAMC was appreciated, including its interventions to assist farmers with market access. And the committee also emphasized the need for the entity to expand its footprint to all provinces in terms of facilitating market access. And as it was indicated that the farmers who have the most access to markets, and including fresh produce markets, are the ones from GP. Appreciation of the PECB, as already alluded to. I will go straight to recommendations. And in terms of recommendations, my colleague, Chidilo, will take the committee through the recommendations.
Thank you. Six, I'll just read as they are, because I believe that, you know, this is where members must give us direction. 6.1, sorry, you moved. 6.1, Knox. Can you go back a little bit? Yeah, all right. Thanks.
Oh, sorry, on my screen. difference. All right.
All right. One, the minister should, one, provide quarterly updates on the finalization of the fit for purpose organizational structure of the department that clearly indicate how persistent duplication of functions among programs and lack of relevant qualifications and expertise among some senior management service level personnel. That was reported by the Department of Public Service Administration will be addressed, including the strengthening of policy unit. Two, submit to Parliament an updated legislation and policy review program with clear timelines and available resources for processing and finalization of such legislation and policies during the current financial year and the medium-term period. In the case of legislation, indicate timeframes for planned introduction to Parliament. Three, ensure the development of an action plan to review and streamline the department's existing support programs and conditional grants into an integrated producer support program scheme or scheme that was envisaged with the National Policy on Comprehensive Producer Development Support. That was envisaged with when the National Policy on Comprehensive Producer Development Support was developed to avoid duplication and resource wastage. The action plan should show the alignment to the department's new mandate and the farmer production support units that are expected to be central to the implementation of the agriculture and agro-processing master plan. Strengthen reporting guidelines and ensure the development of monitoring and evaluation frameworks for conditional grants and all funds that have been transferred to third parties, including those transferred to entities and the land bank for program implementation, while also ensuring that provinces and the land bank report on the utilization of funds on a regular basis. The department should report to Parliament on its M&E activities during each quarterly briefing. 6.5. Additionally to the M&E frameworks, ensure that the department signs service level agreements with the Land Bank, the IDC, and other relevant commodity or partner organizations, particularly for the implementation of the Blended Finance Initiative, the Agri-BEE Fund, and the Land Development Support Program before such funds are transferred. In the absence of necessary accountability frameworks, transfer of funds should be withheld. 6.6, submit to Parliament comprehensive progress reports on disbursements of MAFISA loans, the implementation of transformation activities through the Agri-BEE Fund and the support of land reform funds through Land Development Support Program. Further, ensure that all funds acquired and allocated through Land Reform Program are meshed with relevant farmer or settlement support, including relevant extension services, access to finance, production inputs, market access, and provide reports accordingly. Ensure 6.7, ensure that the department collaborates with the ARC to develop a strategy for sourcing support for the continuation of the National Red Meat Program, which was previously implemented by the NAMC and played a crucial role in improving communal livestock farmers' profits by linking them to markets. 6.8, strengthen the department's contribution to the implementation of the National Policy on Food and Nutrition Security by streamlining food security initiatives within the department to maximize food availability and stability, and measuring impact of intervention. Submit progress reports in Parliament that quantify primary production activities for both crop, that is yields, and livestock, meaning reproductive capacity as represented by improvements in calving or lambing rates. So we are talking about livestock production systems here, funding instruments and resource allocation for each activity. 6.9,
fast track the participation of the agricultural sector in the trade agreement on African continental free trade area, while ensuring protection of local producers from unfair imports and capacity building of small holder producers to enable their full participation in the agreement of the trade agreement on African continental free trade area. Investigate and report to the committee about all government financial support services to the agricultural and agro-processing sector from the 2021-22 financial year, including programs or funding instruments that are implemented through, for example, the Department of Trade and Trade Industry and Competition, the IDC, the Jobs Fund, the National Youth Development Agency, and the Department of Small Business Development inter alia. The report should also highlight the purpose of each program, the targeted beneficiaries, and how these different programs are coordinated to avoid duplication, maximize impact of interventions, and to prevent double dipping by some of the beneficiaries. Ensure that the Chief Land Claims Commissioner submit a comprehensive quarterly report to Parliament outlining key performance indicators relating to the roadmap to the autonomy of the Commission, and reports to the Land Claims Court regarding the settlement and finalization of old order land claims. Further, engage with National Treasury to ensure that there are resources to meet the needs of an autonomous Commission on Restitution of Land Rights with fully resourced and capable regional land claims commissioners located in each province. 6.12, ensure that the Ingwenyama Trust Board and the Ingwenyama Trust officially tables, you've just skipped, I think it's about the budget. Can you go back a little bit? Yes, tables its 2021-22 budget in Parliament by submitting an addendum to the AP tabled earlier this year. The budget should reflect and align to the purpose for which the ITB and the Ingwenyama Trust were established. Fast track the finalization of the work of the Ministerial Advisory Panel on the review of the Property Valuation Act and clarification of the mandate of the OVG. In the meantime, ensure that the vacant positions of the Valuer General and the Chief Operating Officers were filled. Enhance capacity to support communal property association in line with the CPA Amendment Act, and further ensure that support to CPAs and transcend the narrow focus on compliance to the Act. It must focus on creating compliant and functional legal entities that administer communally owned properties for the benefit of the members. We conclude by saying that the committee recommends, unless otherwise indicated, that within 3 months after the adoption of this report by the National Assembly, the minister should submit to Parliament responses to the above recommendations, and this report is for consideration. Thank you.
Nda, is your colleague coming back to conclude? Mam Tashe.
No, she's done.
we are done, Chair. Thank you.
Aye, then. Mam Tashe and her colleague, Dr. Manenje, have concluded the draft report, budget vote report, honorable members. If we can just take away the report so we can get to the members and be able to have them raise their concerns or questions or give input on the report. Honorable members, as your budget vote report before you, can we have questions or clarity or any input? Metlape, the Honorable Metlape.
Thanks, Chair. Let me appreciate the good work that the team always does on matters like this one. Having been part of the deliberations when the department and entities presented, I think this report covers everything and mostly the concerns also as raised by this portfolio committee. Having looked at the recommendations also, Chair, that seeks to pave the way forward for us, I think it will be prudent that I also support the issue that blended finance needs to be elevated. This is a new program that seeks to deal with commercializations of black producers. And it cannot just be on the first year it's silent again. It's something that we want to follow up on it. And we've been on record on several occasions saying most of the time the department would jump into new concepts. All of a sudden, you don't know what happened to such concepts. This one is just too early. And having also noted that there's still allocation to land bank, there's no way blended finance program or model could be left behind. I welcome also the new target here, biosecurity, Chair, as the presentation in, alluded to the need to prevent the vulnerability of the sector against diseases that are common. It's not only the farmers that get affected, but our reputational risk on international markets. It is worrisome, Chair, with the strive that we trying to do through Agricultural Research Council, that their budget remains where it is, and further there's no help on this. It is something that moving forward outside this financial year would have to make sure that our voice gets heard on the help for Agricultural Research Council. The other thing that I know, Chair, is the need that we must salvage what is there for OBP. We shouldn't leave the aging infrastructure to totally collapse before department would want to say they would want to do anything. If OBP has to be a national key point, then we need to cap this problem of aging infrastructure before it becomes too expensive even to do anything about it. I agree with the presentation, Chair, that quality assurance is still a challenge. The configured department need to realign some of the programs as they alluded to, and it is something that has to be a work in progress, and this is succinctly captured in the recommendations that we have seen. But my last point, Chair, is the inadequate support to land holding entities. Like the presenter has indicated, Chair, this affects not only the rural development as a sector, but expansion of agriculture and the productivity of farms, land reform. So these are the issues that I noted. And as we grapple with issues of budgets and the expenditure and how it's utilized through this 21-22 financial year, we will be looking into that, but otherwise the report captures everything, Chair, and that will be my input on the recommendation of us considering this. Those are the issues that I wanted to highlight from my submission. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, the Honorable Matt Harper, the Honorable Marmostein.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I want to thank our support staff chair for, I think, doing an excellent job of highlighting all the issues and putting it all into our report. Chairperson, there is nothing that I wanted to add. I think it covered everything. My only observation would be for ourselves, Chair, as a committee, listening to all the discussions that was taking place, and a lot of them has been ongoing for a lot of years, coming from the previous terms when we had these discussions. And I just think, Chair, for ourselves as a committee, we need to make sure that with the quarterly reports from the department, we ask them to report on specific issues like we have mentioned in this document, so that we ourselves keep track. Sometimes we discuss this yearly the report, and then only next year we look back at the year, which time has already gone by. So, Chair, I would propose that we have a certain section that from the committee we ourselves ask to be getting certain reports on a quarterly basis from the department. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, the Honorable Marmostein. Honorable Memasho.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Good morning to yourself, the minister and deputy ministers and all officials. Chair, one will join Mehlape by welcoming the good work done by the department under the good leadership of the minister, Metogo Didiza, and all deputy ministers, including all officials.
Member, we are considering the committee's report, which has been put before us by the content advisors. We don't have any members of the executive, nor any members of the department, officials of the department who are in attendance.
My apology, Chief, my apology. Apology on that, but nevertheless, let me say all those congratulations, they go to the content advisors, as they've done a good work. My emphasis will be on the QMS of the department with regards to the monitoring and evaluation of all the policies that they've put in place. One will then say that the report is of a high standard and of a high quality as presented, and one will support it. Chair, I don't have much to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Memasho. The Honorable Briette.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Now, Chairperson, I would like to reiterate what my colleague said. I think, as always, our content advisors and committee staff really did an excellent job in actually getting to the crux of what we said. And I think it is a true reflection of this portfolio committee. Chairperson, I would maybe just like to add to Honourable Stain's suggestion that we, for example, have an Excel sheet or a type of format that we can actually hold the department accountable to all these recommendations we have set, to actually have deadlines and to have a list that is circulated amongst us, so that we can, during portfolio committee meetings, actually keep the department accountable. And as Honourable Stain said, not only come along 12 months later and then realize that this recommendation was not completed, this one we never followed up, this one the department hasn't fully completed, and really just a way of assisting us, but also trying to keep the portfolio committee, or the department, actually accountable. So I would just suggest that above and beyond what Honourable Stain suggested, but thank you, Chairperson. Otherwise, I'm covered and I have no additions to the report. Thanks.
Thank you, Akbar Briet. Kangeba, Mamun Babam.
Enkosi Madiba, I also would like to reiterate the thanks that my colleagues have sent to the content advisors. I think it is a very professional piece of work, and I have no further comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mamu Babamo. The Honorable Papa.
Thank you, Chair. Let me first of all join the chorus in thanking the content advisors for the sterling work of this presentation. And also hope that they would assist to have the department in implementation having the same understanding, understand all these issues in the same way, and also to be able to make sure, assist us in the sense that all these good things do not slip through the fingers. And also to assist in the sense that these should not be only things that are regarded as if all goes well, but things that we would like to succeed as they are presented and as we appreciate them. Otherwise, I thank the presentation from the advisors. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Utata Papa. Tabezita, Nkosi Enkulu, the Honorable Nkosi Cebekhulu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to you, Chairperson, and all members of the Portfolio Committee and the staff and or advisors, so to say. Chairperson, I'd like to welcome as well the report which has been tabled before the committee, and I have no additional comments on what has been said, except to follow suit with thanking the advisors on the good work that they've done for the Portfolio Committee. Thank you, Chair.
The Honorable Ntate Matias Dumela. Ntate Matias. Ntate Matias, are you still there? We'll come back to you. You are on the platform. The Honorable Memashati.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me first and foremost apologize, Salo, for not being able to put on the video. The network is quite bad where I reside. My sincere apologies. Good morning, colleagues. Let me also join the queue that appreciates the wonderful and profound and quality work that is produced by our content advisors and the entire administrative staff. They never disappoint. When we get to the actual report, we must, in all honesty, appreciate the ability of our administrative staff to trace and track all the concerns and the work that we as the committee have always raised. That must be really commendable. And first and foremost, Chair, I want to raise this particular concerns in as far as the qualities of the ATPs that we have received. And I think it comes out clearly in the observations of the report that we need to raise this matter quite strongly with the department, because the APP is a plan of the department and entities. If it shows, if the quality of the process and the documents are not of a great standard, it clearly tells you the type of outcomes you're going to achieve at the end of the term. Number two, Chair, is on the recommendations that have been made. I would want us to speak to recommendation 4 of the document, where it speaks about the report in relation to the funds that have been sent to third parties. I would want us to, I would maybe, if possible, we know that a concurrent function is indeed a third party, but it's not specified in that particular paragraph. Instead, we speak about the land bank and other financial institutions. But I think it will be very important also to monitor the funds that are going to provinces and be able to at least, even though you, the department has always said they are unable to be accountable because theirs is to transfer funds and how they are utilized, it might not necessarily within their own parameters. But at least we should be able to monitor to see how those funds are utilized, because this concurrent function has become a thorny issue for the committee. Number 2, Chair, is on the, I think it's, recommendation 13, where it speaks about the OVG. The recommendation clearly indicates that there's a need to expedite the appointment of senior executives, but it's not saying what about the entire staff complement, because this is OVG has had challenges in as far as capacity. Now, I think our focus should not only be at the helm of the institution, but ensure that the entire staff complement, as per their own plan, is becomes a priority. Lastly, Chair, which is an overall observation in as far as the report, if possible, Clalo, can I do understand that we get the reports on quarterly basis to check the recommendations that we have might have made in the previous financial year. But in support of what Honorable Stein indicated, we should be able to have an overall assessment on all the issues that we have, might have raised in the previous report that we had adopted, so that we are able to assess the how far are we in terms of implementation of all those issues that we might have raised previously. Surely that will assist us to have an overall assessment of the achievements we have made in the previous financial year. With those few words, thank you very much, Chair. I really, the report is proper, and we really appreciate the work that has been done by our content advisors and the entire staff. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Memahlatsi. Honorable Ntate Masipa.
Thobela, Chair, and thanks very much. To the staff, really thank you for the spelling work that you've really done with producing the report, I do think that maybe what I can really recommend is that biosecurity be included in the report. I know that it was highlighted in the report, but in the recommendation, I saw it's missing. We are now challenged with avian flu and obviously the bunchy top virus. I do think that the report will really, the recommendation of strengthening biosecurity and obviously creating an alert system to ensure that, you know, farmers are alerted. I mean, we have got, we had a big budget allocated, so 495, and I don't think that is also reflected in terms of going forward, whether that budget was really cut or was just introduced and never really followed through, I do not know. But to the committee and to the staff, I definitely recommend that biosecurity be looked at. And secondly, I do concur and agree with Memahlatsi that the MNE area has to extend, but I will recommend that it extend obviously to the land reform. I think at the moment, colleagues, what we are doing on land reform is that we are always very reactive on issues that we hear happening on farms that have been bought by the department. And at our oversight, which I did not attend, you are witness of what's really happening. I think I will really support that maybe we consider the MNE on land reform farms that also be part of this reporting on a quarterly basis. And lastly, 6.9, it talks to the African trade. Let me just check African trade. African Continental Free Trade Area. My suggestion really is that maybe that part just consider the trade agreement. There was an AGOA mentioned with the NAMC presentation, and maybe just to also, you know, ask that we get quarterly feedback or ensure that the department talk to us on trade agreements, obviously looking at the threats and the opportunities that do exist internationally to support our farmers. Thanks very much, Chair. I think that's all from my side. And thanks to the staff and obviously the admin that have really done a stellar job. Thank you.
Thank you, the Honorable Ntate Masipa, the Honorable Ntate Matias. Ntate Matias. Are you with us, Ntate Matias? Honorable members, is there any other honorable member that I've overlooked who's on the platform who wishes to pose questions or clarity or give comment? If not, honorable members, maybe I can raise some of my concerns, and but before doing so, let me also take this opportunity to applaud the stunning work that has been done by our content advisors and staff who have been able to put together with the researchers this draft of our budget vote report. Perhaps I will firstly speak to legislation and policy as put on bullet point 6.2. I don't recall a chance or opportunity where the department presented before the portfolio committee their intentions to update legislation and do policy review. So I do believe, honorable members, that this recommendation might be problematic as the department itself has not been able to come before the committee and present on legislation and policy. So if I can get some comments on that or response, I'd appreciate that. But also regarding bullet point 6.3, maybe it's an issue of how it's crafted or it's an issue of English, but let me put it as I see it, because I believe this must be crafted in a, such a manner as it would not be understood as if the committee is exercising a legislative overreach. So I don't know how best to articulate that or how it can be put, but maybe the content advisor and the researchers can give input on that as to how we can better craft that bullet point. But lastly, it would be the issue of CPAs, and I think this is the one that continuously is of a challenge to us, honorable members. In terms of the CPAs and the recommendation before us, it is recommended that the department should ensure that CPAs transcend the narrow focus on compliance to the CPA Act, and it must focus on creating compliant and functional legal entities that administer communally owned properties for the benefit of the members of the CPA. I do feel, honorable members, that this recommendation might be problematic, as I do not recall where in the committee we had made such a recommendation that legal entities be created to administer communally owned properties for the benefit of the members. Some of the challenges faced by CPAs are as a result of external factors, and this includes external services procured from professionals. I think, therefore, honorable members, emphasis should be put on capacity building, training, and skills development for members of the CPA. That would be my input as far as the draft budget vote report is concerned. And let us put it back to the content advisors and the researchers if they would want to be able to furnish us with responses. But the report is highly impressive and adequately crafted. And we would like to applaud the team for having been able to put this draft report together. Thank you. I'm Kashe. And your colleague, please take the platform.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you to the members for the positive feedback and the comments. I will start on 6.2. With the chairperson's concerns, I believe the other members, with the exceptions of Matlatsi and Temasipa, have no additional points. But I'll start with 6.2 from the chair. The APP chairperson does indicate, each APP actually does list pieces of legislation that the department plans to introduce, in fact, to process for approval either by cabinet or the minister. The same is done with the policy. Even if they did not, there are pieces of legislation that the committee knows that have been promised to the committee by the department. So if they are not in the plan, there is no way of the committee knowing when they will eventually surface. For example, we've explained the issue of the communal land tenure, because the committee made an undertaking to follow that up to stakeholders that made a presentation in respect of the ultra bill. So if, and the department also assured the committee that the communal land tenure bill will be finalized by the end of the last financial year. So if it's not in the plan, that was still the department process, not necessarily introduction to parliament. But if something has been done, if it's just progress, it is expected to be reflected in its plan. And the
the submission of a legislation and policy program, it's also not a new thing. The department has previously done it in 2019, just to give the committee an idea of the pieces of legislation that it is busy with. That also helps the committee in its oversight responsibility in checking in cases where there are legislations that are outstanding that are supposed to have been finalized but are not part of the plan, to find out from the department how far is the process. The program, the legislative program and policy review, is just for information purposes and also to assist the committee with oversight and also to ensure that the resources are allocated to those pieces of legislation. For example, if I may make an example with the communal land tenure, if there is no budget, if the department decides to implement or to introduce the communal land tenure sometime this year, even though it's not in the plan, then the committee would want to know if there are resources allocated to the for the implementation of that legislation when Parliament concludes its process. Because oftentimes there have been challenges where Parliament will process legislation or will request certain pieces of legislation, but after a legislation has been passed, there are no resources or there aren't enough resources to ensure the implementation of. So I just want to explain or give context to 6.2. Because for legislation, we've also proposed the time frames for planned introduction. We know that as much as they can plan, sometimes now we are in lockdown. So that means consultation takes longer, or in some cases, it's not possible. So it's just plan. That's why we put in plan introduction. They might plan to introduce this year, but for reasons that they have no control over, the introduction to Parliament happens in the previous, in the following year. I'm not sure if my colleague wants to add with respect to 6.2.
Sure. No, thanks. I think you have covered it. I would just say that I agree with everything that you said, and also add and say that the context to 6.2 also arises from the fact that in the minister said to the committee is beefing up policy unit to do what? Secondly, the minister tabled the APP, as you said, in Parliament, and submitting a list of policies to be, I think it says, to be reviewed or to be approved with pieces of legislation. So even if perhaps there was no particular mention, but the document that was tabled before committee makes mention of legislation to be approved, policies to be reviewed. And in the discussion, there were comments made by members around policies. And I can remember very well there was discussion around policies with regard to restitution. So it is in the context of that we built this up to this particular recommendation, that there has to be clarity around this thing. And this, as the chairperson always reminds the committee, that this is a mechanism to hold the department accountable. If we go back to the discussion around ULTRA, members will remember the discussion the committee had around extending application to the rest of the country. And the decision that the committee took not to expand it to the rest of the country was on the basis of the department saying to the committee, well, we are bringing communal land tenure this year. And so you know, as we write your reports, for us it's also not a sort of a once-off thing. We bring also those issues that form the context to the debate. So that's the reason why it is there. So we don't think that it's going to be a problem, because it is in the those policies and pieces of legislation are in the tabled APP. Thanks, Knox.
Okay, thanks, Chief.
Any further input? Go ahead, Mumtaz.
Okay, Chief. And also, just a last point on this is we have reported in as part of the members' observations the issue of cutting and paste, direct cut and paste from a previous report. For example, just a last point on this one issue: the fact that they have put in there legislation that has already been processed is a problem on its own. So there's no weighing if those are actually legislation that are coming or that the department is busy with. Because if they just put something from the previous year without actually checking it in, then there is a reason for members to doubt everything that's in the plan. Hence, the program, an updated program will assist us. That's why we update it, so that to pin it on them to know which policies and legislation that they are busy and when they are likely to finish those. The next one that the person also mentioned, This we have included, and it's actually a recommendation that was also made by the committee in the previous financial year, but there was no response to it. And also, since nothing has changed in the APP, that also means the department hasn't really worked on it. Probably for lack of a better word to say an action plan, but the committee in this case wants something that shows that the department is working at streamlining those different support programs and conditional grants, as Meshlap has also emphasized the challenges with having these many different programs in terms of oversight and accountability. In this case, the recommendations do not necessarily have to be confined to what the department has said. Where there's a weakness that the committee has observed or noticed, it is at liberty to make a recommendation to get, if the department hasn't been thinking about streamlining those support programs, as the committee has previously suggested, to have this recommendation repeated, can also point out to them the need or the emphasis on addressing this matter. And I think the challenges with having the many programs we've already indicated, and also in terms of this support program, to highlight the fact that the members should also know that previously the department had no databases for smallholder farmers. It's only recently that they mentioned that they have concluded the farmer register program. So it's possible that support is going to the same people. It's possible that there are farmers that have not been touched at all with as many support programs as it has. And it's also possible that some of the recipients of these support programs do not even qualify
for different reasons or other, depending on the criteria of each program. I don't know if I make sense, members. And also in terms of duplication, members will recall from the previous oversight activities, the challenge with infrastructure program, particularly from the former Department of Land Reform and Rural Development, where it has put up lots of infrastructure projects or buildings or whatever for agricultural purposes without consulting previously, without consulting the former Department of Agriculture or the beneficiaries of such infrastructure. As a result, there are cases where you find infrastructure not being used because it's not fit for the purpose. If the chair will further down on that recommendation, we also put in that the action plan should show the alignment to the department's new mandate. The departments are now combined. Now we no longer have agriculture as a department and rural development as a department. So the committee expects that all programs should show that alignment or at least work towards the new mandate. Maybe if the department gets to think about this, then they will also realize the duplications that we have that has been observed by the committee rather on some of the programs and also sub-programs. Chief, do you have an addition on this one or a suggestion on how we can rephrase it?
Not at this point. We can think about it and update.
On 6.4, recognized and welcome the emphasis on concurrency, if I heard you correctly, Ms. Masat, and also to put the actual monitoring for DORA funds allocated to provinces. I think there was something Chililo, I don't know, want to add there.
Let's see.
On the ministerial.
Oh yes, on the office of the Valuer General. I think we should integrate that. The reason why we actually emphasized the senior management was because during the presentation, the office of the Valuer General indicated, I can't remember how many positions were there, 45 or so, that they were going to be recruiting people to occupy those positions. So that's the reason why we did not put it as a recommendation. It's because of that undertaking. But perhaps as a matter of emphasis, we should then include that the committee has noted that, and indeed it's something that it will monitor, and we put it as a recommendation to support that idea that they will be recruiting more people, not only at a senior management level. I do not. I welcome that suggestion. And the CPAs. Yes, I wanted to talk to the CPAs and thank the observation around this. when I listen to the chairperson, I think actually it brings more clarity to what we are saying here, because the chairperson is saying, well, perhaps it should be saying capacity building training. And that's exactly what we are saying, that if you read the APP, it speaks about compliance to the Amendment Act. And when you look at, the CPA Act, and when you look at their reports, once a CPA is regarded as compliant, once it submits its annual financial statements, once it shows that it has it had election of chairpersons and all these issues, a CPA can submit all those things and comply. Whereas there's still internal divisions. Whereas there's still, these notions of consensus group within a CPA. While they are fighting and they are, production is being prevented by all these different fights within. So I think the word that maybe a phrase there which we used, which when I listen to Chairperson, it's like perhaps it may be misinterpreted to say that it must focus on creating compliant and functional legal entities that administer communally owned properties. It seems that's where maybe there may be misinterpretation. We must remember that CPAs own properties communally. So we're not referring to the communal lands in the homeland areas, which are owned by the state, administered by traditional councils. That's not what we are referring to here. We're referring to communally owned farms. Perhaps we should say communally owned land reform farms, because they own that, administered that for the benefit of members of the CPA. So in improving this recommendation, I will suggest to members that we then say that it must focus on capacitating CPAs and, CPA committees and CPA members by capacity building and training programs to ensure that management of communally owned land reform farms are for the material benefit of members. That's members of the CPAs. Yeah, that's my addition there. I think that's all. Otherwise, yeah. Thank you.
I think the last one was the inclusion from Mr. Masipa of the specific recommendation, basically to flag out biosecurity, as members have raised concerns with it, have appreciated its inclusion as a sub-program, but with an inadequate budget. So the strengthening and the resources and also issuing of as a last recommendation. In terms of recommendations, all that members have made inputs on, so it's back to the chair and
thank you, Mom Kase and Nda Botobela, the Dr. Manenge, for your responses, honorable members. I think with the amendments that we have requested and the clarity that we have gained, we have before us a report that the vast majority of members are very happy with, and it has been well articulated as well as captured by the content advisors and our researchers and staff. We will now move for the adoption of the budget vote report. If there are no other matters arising. If not, then honorable members, let's move for the adoption of the report with amendments. Honorable Mema Hlatsi, I see your hand up.
Thank you very much. I move for the adoption of the report, sir.
Okay. Oh, your head shot up very quick. I thought you were still going to come on matters arising. Thank you, Honorable Mema Hlatsi has moved for the adoption of the budget vote report that has been tabled before the committee. Can I have a seconder? Honorable Mestain.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm seconding the report.
Thank you, Honorable Mamustain. I also saw the hand of Honorable Basho coming up. Are you also moving for seconding, Mem Basho?
That's my case.
Okay. No, thank you, Honorable Members. The budget vote report has therefore been duly adopted, and it will be presented before the House during our budget vote debate so that we can be able to engage with the report on our virtual meeting that we'll be having on Thursday, the 13th of May. Wish all of you best of wishes and luck with the work that stands before us, as we will all be giving input on the report in the House. Honorable Mamustain, your hand is still up. Is it from the previous input? Mamustain?
Yes, sorry, Chair. I'm sorry, I thought I took it down.
No. All right. No, thank you. Honorable members, with that, we then come to our last item of the day, which is our outstanding minutes. I will beg for your indulgence so that we can dispense of the minutes of the committee. We have the minutes of the 16th and the 23rd of March, as well as the minutes of the 4th and 5th of May. I will then ask the staff and the secretariat to share the minutes of the 16th of March 2021. Let us proceed. Page 1, page 2,
they're taking the lessons from the
page 3. Thank you. Can we have honorable members move up for the adoption of the minutes? The honorable member, sir.
Honorable Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes as a true reflection of what happened in the meeting.
Thank you, Honorable Memasho. Can we have a seconder for the adoption of the minutes, the Honorable Mestain?
Thank you, Chair. I'm seconding the minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Are there any matters arising? Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Thank you, honorable members. If there are no matters arising, therefore the minutes of the 16th of March 2021 have been duly adopted. Let us move on to the minutes of the 23rd of May 2021, sorry. The 23rd of March 2021. There we have it, page one, honorable members. Page two. Page three. Page four. Page five. Page six. Page seven. Page eight. Thank you, honorable members. And we have a mover for the adoption of the minutes of the 23rd of March, 2021. The honorable Mem Marshall.
Yes. Honorable Chair, thank you very much. Yes, I was there. I was checking on the present. I move for the adoption of this minute.
Thank you, Honorable Marshall. I move for the adoption of the minutes of the 23rd of March, 2021. Honorable members, is the second of? Akpare Briet.
Chairperson, I will second the minutes of the 23rd of March.
Thank you, bye. Honorable Briet seconded for the adoption of the minutes of the 23rd of March 2021. Honorable members, are there any matters arising? Page one. Page two. Page three. Page four. Page five. Page six. Page seven. Page eight. If there are no matters arising, honorable members,
Chairperson, sorry, my
answer. Go ahead, Honorable Stay.
Can we just go to the matters arising on page 7.
Page 7, what bullet point?
The 9.1.5, Chair, concludes being remarked.
Bullet point 9.1.5.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's basically both 9.1.4 and 9.1.5. If you can just remind the Secretariat to write to the Department in order for us to get that information, which they wanted to send us long ago. This meeting was already, I know the minutes was only now, but they did tell us that they will give us the information and we still haven't received anything. Thank you, Chair.
Yes. Thank you, Honorable Stein. We will request on behalf of the Portfolio Committee on Agricultural and Reform and Rural Development that our Secretariat therefore writes to the Department and request them to submit these lists that were requested by the committee. Thank you, Honorable Stein, and we shall therefore revert back to the committee once we've received. Honorable members, if there are no further matters arising, the minutes of the 23rd of March 2021 have been duly adopted. Can we move on to the minutes of the 4th of May 2021? Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Thank you, honorable members. There's the minutes of the 4th of May, 2021. Can I have a mover for the adoption of the minutes?
Tandekam Papama Chair, I hereby move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Mpabama, for the move for the adoption of the minutes of the 4th of May 2021. Can we have a second, our honorable members?
Chape Chair, I second the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Metrape, for seconding the adoption of the minutes. Any matters arising, honorable members? Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. there are no matters arising, honorable members, the minutes of the 4th of May 2021 have been duly adopted. Thank you. Let's move to our last set of minutes, that of the 5th of May 2021. Thank you, honorable members. This was our second session of the APPs. We therefore move on page one. Page two. Page three. Page four. Page five. Page six. Page seven. Honorable members, where are your minutes of the 5th of May 2021? Can we have a mover for the adoption of the minutes? The Honorable Ntate Masipa.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I move for the adoption of the minutes of the 5th of May 2021 as correctly reflected. Thank you.
Thank you, Ntate Masipa, for moving for the adoption of the minutes. Can we have a seconder? Don't see any hands, honorable members. Can I have a seconder? For the adoption of the minutes. For seconding the adoption of the minutes. Can we move, honorable members, to the matters arising? Page one, on matters arising. Page two. Page three. Page four.
Excuse me, Chair.
Yes, Pankomo.
Sorry for the background noise. 3.2.1, the third bullet. The committee
bullet.
Further requested more information on the O.F. Tambo soya beans and vegetable school garden projects. Could we ensure that the secretarial has followed this up, please?
Thank you, Honorable Babama. We will ensure that the Secretariat follows up on this and also request the Secretariat to look onto our next oversight visit when it will be so we can start planning accordingly. Any other matters arising? Honorable members, we're still on page four. page 5. Page 6. Page 7. Thank you, honorable members. If there are no further matters arising, we take it that the minutes of the 5th of May 2021 have been duly adopted. That, honorable members, brings us to the end of our agenda and program of the day. We therefore thank you all, particularly we put a round of applause for our staff, the content advisors, our researchers, and all the staff of the committee for stunning work that they've been able to do in putting together the budget vote report. And we look forward to engaging with it and debating it in the House on the 13th of May, 2021, that being Thursday, honorable members. We would like to also remind you of the House sitting this afternoon at 2 o'clock. So please have yourself a wonderful lunch, and we will see you virtually in the House for the plenary. And have a wonderful week ahead. And please send our greetings and love to your families. Thank you. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson. Have a good day, too.
Dabezi, tasiatogoz, nabumku.
Thank you, Chairperson. Have a good week, colleagues.
Thank you, Ntate Masipa.
Re lebohile tsatsi le letle.
Wa tshimbile tsa bodi. Thank you.